Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good evening, everyone. It is now the 8:30 hour, time that we have become committed and submit ourselves to on Wednesday night. And I'm Diane Adams, your host of Words of Wisdom, plain and simple. As always, we give God the glory and the honor and the praise for allowing us to be able to assemble ourselves together one more time. The body of Christ, partakers of the household of faith. And it's by God's grace, all things through Christ Jesus, that we are able to be here again tonight. And for that, I'm grateful and I'm thankful. I thank God and I thank each and every one of you for taking time out of your busy schedule to join us at this 8:30 hour. Glory, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus. We have to give God the praise, the glory, and the honor that he deserves. If it wasn't for his grace, we wouldn't be here. And if each and every one of us take and look back over our lives and truly think things over, we could see that we are blessed. And it's by God's grace. I pray that everyone had a good week in the midst of all of the storms that's happening in this evil and dark world. But God is in control. Nothing that is happening is taking him by surprise. And God's going to take care of his own. We got to hold on to that, you guys. We got to believe it. And we got to trust God, because God will see us through. He didn't bring us this far to leave us. And for that, we say thank you. And at this time, the title of our lesson is, We Have Come This Far by Faith. I thought that was so appropriate for the time that we're living in, because we have gotten to where we are because of faith. We come this far by faith, and faith's going to carry us through. We have to trust God in everything. We have to trust God with everything we say and everything we do. We have to trust God. And we realize and hold on to the fact that God has said that he will never leave us nor forsake us. So my sisters and brothers in Christ, I just come to tell you tonight, no matter what you may be going through, God is right there in the middle of it, and God knows what you're going through. And sometimes we kind of separate ourselves from God, but we feel the gap in his presence, and we believe sometime that God is separating from us. But God is not. And even if you can't hear God's voice, just trust his plan, because he's God, and yes, he understands. Our scriptures tonight is coming from the book of Genesis, the 22nd chapter, and I'm going to expound on verses 1 through 18. I pray that you all had a chance to read the 22nd chapter today. At this time, I'm going to play a song that I think is appropriate for the lesson. We're going to come back, and Sister Pam, our intercessor, is going to lead us to God's throne of grace in prayer. And then we're going to expound on the word of God together. So if you have your Bible, turn to Genesis, the first book in the Bible, the 22nd chapter, and we're going to start at the first verse.
Lead it on the Lord.
And that was, we come this far by faith. We living in a trying times. We living in the last days. We living where man do anything that seemeth right in his own eyes. We live in a time of injustice. We live in a time of wrongdoing just because they can murder us all in the street daily. We living in this time, and it's happening in this world. And the Bible told us that we are in this world, but we not of this world. We have to realize who we belong to. We have to realize that God is in control. I don't know how you would make it without that. And the record said we come this far by faith. And I want you to know, my sisters and brother, it's faith that's going to have to carry us through. Hold on to God's unchanging hand. It's by the faith of God, faith in God, that we make it through the day, that he deliver us home safely when we leave home. It's not that we so special or we so good or he loves us better than the people getting killed on the street, but it's by his grace. It's a part of his master plan that he formulated before the foundation of the world. And he's working it out together for our good. You got to trust him. Trust him by faith. And he will see you through. At this time, I'm going to open the mic for our sister Pam. And she's going to lead us in prayer. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
Good evening, my sisters and brothers. Father God, I come right now thanking you for affording us this opportunity to come together for this Wednesday night for prayer and worship. I thank you, Father, to God tonight for life, thanking you for our sister in Christ and our teacher, Minister Diane. Oh, Father God, I pray that you continue to use her, oh Lord, in a mighty, mighty way, bringing forth your word to us each and every Wednesday night. Lord, please bless our Bible study and each and every person that's on the line tonight and on the internet. Thank you, Lord, for God, Father God, for right now. Lord, I thank you for your grace and I thank you for your mercy. I thank you for your son, Jesus the Christ. Thank you, Father God, for all that you're doing for us right now. Thank you for what you've done for us. Thank you for what you still to do. Father God, I thank you for the Holy Ghost being our comforter and our guide. Father God, I be so careful to give you all glory, all honor, and all praise. I ask you, my sisters and brothers tonight, just keep these our young children, our young brothers and sisters, just keep them lifted up in prayer, Lord Jesus. We all need prayers. Pray for the parents. Pray for the children. Even pray for those that are doing the crime. In Jesus' name, amen, amen, and thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you so much, Sister Pam.
You're welcome.
Thank you. They say when praises go up, blessings come down. They say when we pray unto God, our prayers go up as a sweet aroma unto his nostrils, and it pleases him. Hallelujah, y'all. Hallelujah. We all have to pray. Prayer is the key that unlocks doors. Amen, and thank God. Well, we're about to get into our lesson. We're in the book of Genesis, chapter 22, 1 through 18. And I'm going to do a little quick background like I always like to do. But I want you to know the background that I'm going to do tonight is concerning God's master plan. See, when we could truly understand God's master plan and you understand it and you buy into his plan is where your success is. You see, God have a master plan. We can't change it. We can't add to it. We can't subtract from it. God's plan is his will and his will is his way. And nothing can stop or block the will of God. So if we can understand God's plan just a little bit more, we would be in a better position of understanding, wisdom, knowledge, and truth. You see, the fact is that God is sovereign, which means that he could do anything that he want to do. And I want to talk about the call tonight and the fact that he calls who he wants, how he wants, when he wants, when he wants, and how he wants. Because he's God, y'all. You see, life can be lived two ways. And it's two ways. You're either one or the other. And one of it is constantly fighting against God and his purpose. Or humbly submitting to whatever his plan is for you. Now, I know some of you may say, Sister Diane, I don't know God's plan for me. But until you understand and walk into the plan that he has for you, it's your responsibility to keep on doing what is right till it's the right thing to do. Do the things that you know God has asked you to do while you wait on your plan or you wait on your purpose. You see, we are the call of God for service and for his purpose. Proverbs 19 and 21 says, many are the plans in a person's heart. We all have plans and our ambitions, and we set up in our mind what we want to be and how we're going to get there. We all have plans. They say many are the plans of a man's heart, but it is the Lord's purpose that prevails. Come on, y'all. It's the Lord's purpose that prevails. And I'm going to talk about someone who was called by God. And since the lesson is about Abraham, I'm going to do him first. You see, Abraham was 75 years old when God called him. At that time, his name was Abram. And God told Abram to leave his family and go to a land where he was showing. God made three promises to him that you're going to own land because you don't now. And you're going to become a great nation. And many is going to be blessed by you. After God did that, he changed name Abraham. When God did that, he changed his name from Abram to Abraham. Here we see that Abram, when he was called, Abram didn't go looking for God. Come on, y'all. But God came looking for him. And I thought about that. See, God went to Abram. It didn't say he was so good. It didn't say he was so righteous. It didn't tell you none of this. But this should let you know in the plan of God, he chooses whom he will. But here we see that God called Abram. Abram didn't go looking for God. Hallelujah. The plan of God, y'all. And then if I go on down, because I noticed that many of the great people in the Bible are called by God. You see, if I look at Moses, Moses was attending the sheep in Midian when God called him from a burning bush. Moses was tending the sheep, doing his daily stuff, and here come God in a burning bush. The bush was burning, the fire was burning, but the bush didn't burn. That's why they say God is a consuming fire. No matter how hot the fire got, the bush was still intact. God called Moses from a burning bush, and he told him, go and redeem the children of Israel from slavery in Egypt. God called and chose Moses. Again, I tell you, it didn't say Moses was so good. It didn't say Moses was looking for God, but God chose Moses. Stay with me, y'all. And then I take a little trip and visit David. David was a young boy minding his father's sheep in the field when God called, anointed, and appointed him to be the next king of the Israelites. Come on, y'all. God had sent Samuel over to Jesse's house to anoint the next king because Saul wasn't doing very well. Y'all know the story. God told him to go to Jesse's house, and he didn't give Samuel a name who would be the king, but he gave Samuel some oil. He said, when you put this oil on the one that's going to be the king, you're going to know it. Jesse had 7 sons, and Samuel had put the oil on all 6 of them that was in the house. And the results was that neither one of them was the next king. See, Samuel knew if God sent him there, that God don't make mistakes. So Samuel told Jesse, you must have another son somewhere. There got to be someone else. Jesse, David's father, said, I got that little old boy out there that all he want to do is be with the sheep. He eat with the sheep. He sleep with the sheep. But he out there tending the sheep. And ain't too much to him. Jesse, Samuel told him, well, go get him anyhow. Jesse brought David into the house. Hallelujah. Samuel poured the oil on David. And it was no guessing in the game that David was the choice of God to be the next king. This is a fact. David didn't go looking for God. God came looking for David. And I guess I could throw another one in there just because, and I decided to stop and look at Paul for a while. We know the story of Paul being the persecutor of the Christians because of his Judaism faith. Paul believed that anybody that accepted Jesus Christ as their Savior was blaspheming against God. Paul was very learned, smart man in the law and Judaism. But he was doing it with a zeal, but it wasn't according to knowledge. He hadn't understood that Jesus was the Messiah. So Paul was on his way to Damascus to go and catch some Christians that thought they had got away. And Paul was on the road and God knocked him off the horse. Jesus Christ, matter of fact, knocked him off the horse and spoke to him. Say, Saul, why are thou persecuting me? See, you know, Paul was not looking for Jesus. He was harming anyone else who tried to be all right with Jesus. So we know as a fact, Paul didn't go looking for Jesus, but Jesus came looking for Paul. I'm saying this to us tonight, that God have a call on every one of our lives that He formulated in his master plan that I spoke of earlier before the foundation of the world. And he do everything to work it out together for our good, y'all. God has a call on all of our lives, and he has equipped us with gifts, knowledge, wisdom to perform what he has for us to do. Hallelujah, y'all. God has given us everything necessary to perform what he has created us to do. You see, God is a God of purpose, and each and every one of us has a design purpose designed by God. The scripture tells us that we are uniquely made. There's no two you. So you ain't got to worry about it because what God wants from you, he's not asking me. And what he wants from me, he wants from me. That's why there's one body in Christ. The body has many members, and each member in the body of Christ has a place with a purpose that God designed. He placed the provisions intact for you to be able to perform it, and that's just the way God planned it. You see, in God's master plan, he said he had an intended purpose with an expected end for our lives. Y'all know the scripture. Many times we reject the offer because we feel we have feelings of unworthiness. But you see, God knows what he has invested in you. God knows what he has invested in you, even if you haven't realized it yet. And he knows your heart. So what God is doing, he's patiently waiting and continually molding, shaping, arranging, and rearranging us for our good and his glory. Come on, y'all. We didn't go looking for God. God came looking for us. And I'm a living witness. I don't know about you, but I am a living witness. You see, God knows what's in your heart. God is all-knowing. He's omniscient. He knows our beginning and our end. He knows what you was going to do before you was in your mother's womb. And it's not that he make us do this and that, but because he knew what we would be and could be, he worked it out together, and he had assigned, really, in a sense, our work. Because he knows us. And he knows where and how he can use us. And I'm going to say this with a little background. Even though we all have fallen short of the word of God, the glory of God, and none of these men were perfect. You know, I told you Paul was persecuted, Moses was a murderer, David was an adulteress. Who else I had in there? Noah didn't even get to the promised land after leading them for all of those years. They weren't perfect, but it was God's choice. And each and every one of us is God's choice. So even though these men wasn't perfect, God never allowed our past to dictate our future. God's will for your life and my life will be done. But we have to trust and believe God by faith. That's the background for tonight. And we're going into the scripture. I'm going to start in the 22nd chapter. I'm going to start at the first verse, and I'm going to read verses 1 and 2. And the scripture reads, "And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham." And I want to stop right here a little while because, you know, the word of God teaches us that God don't tempt, he tests. And the word tempt and test has the same kind of meaning, and the way that it's used, it means one or the other. So God was test Abraham at this time as he tested Moses. God doesn't tempt man into temptation, but God tempt Abraham. And he said unto him, "Abraham," and he said, "Behold, here I am." And he said, "Take now thy son, thy only son Isaac, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of." He's all right. It must have been a challenging thing for Abraham to do. Remember, he was 100 years old when he finally received the son that God promised him and his wife Sarah. Because you know that Isaac wasn't his first son, but that's another story. And that's why I said God promised him and his wife Sarah. And now he is being asked to offer him as a sacrifice, which would have killed him. He may have thought, "Why have God given me this son and now asked me to do this?" Abraham loved his son, but he loved God more. Abraham had got this far by faith. Abraham realizing God had been with him, and he has gotten this far, hallelujah, y'all, by faith, believing God, trusting in his holy word. And he knew that he had never failed him yet. Do you know that in your life, y'all? Where we are right now, we, no matter where you are, you got this ball by faith. And Abraham may have thought if God would allow his son to die, Abraham knew he had the power to raise him from the dead. Come on, y'all. It also remind me about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego when they was fixing, the king was fixing to put them in a fiery furnace. The king wanted them not to go in. He had invested a lot of money in them, and he liked them, and he didn't want them to die, so he tried to get them to bow down, and they refused. And the king told him, how do you know your God will save you? Shadrach, Meshach, and the Abednego say, I tell you one thing, king. We don't know if he would, but we surely do know that he could. Hallelujah. And that's where I thought of that when Abraham may have thought that if God would allow him to die, that he had the power to raise him from the dead. There's a scripture in Hebrews 11, chapter the 19th verse says, accounting that God is able to raise him up even from the dead. That's Hebrew writer talking about Abraham in reference to Isaac, whom whence he had received him in a figure. See, God, Abraham was just still trusting God. Come on, y'all. Glory, hallelujah. You see, again, God tells Abraham to go and don't exactly tell him which mountain. You know, when God called Abraham earlier, he told him leave his family and his country and go. He didn't tell him where. See, that's walking by faith because you just step out. How many of us would be like doubting Tom and say, I'm not going to move until you tell me where. Come on, y'all. God told him go. He didn't tell him where. And here tonight, he tell him to take his son to Moriah and go. He's going to show him the mountain where he want to go up to make the sacrifice. God telling him go again and not telling him where. But Abraham trust God. Verses 3-5. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his ass and took two of his young men with him and Isaac, his son, and cleaved the wood and burnt offering and rose up and went into the place in which God told him. Then on the third day, now this is a three-day journey he done went. On the third day, he lifted up his eyes and saw the place far off. You know, everywhere they went, they had to walk. They didn't have no cars, Ubers, and things like that. So this the third day in the journey. And that third day is important. In verse 5, and Abraham said unto his young men, ye there with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again to you. You see, Abraham obeyed God. He got up early in the morning and began his walk of faith. You see, it was a three-day journey, and I could only imagine the agony that Abraham must have was feeling about having to give up his son as a sacrifice. I could only imagine the thoughts traveling through Abraham's mind. You see, in the 3 days, Abraham could have changed his mind. But he didn't. He continued to walk by faith, not knowing the outcome, but just trusting God. You see, he knew that God loved him and that God really knew what was best. And look what he did. He don't know the outcome. He's just keeping it moving. But you see, while he was waiting on God, he kept it moving. You see, he got everything together. He packed what he needed to do what God asked him. He began his walk. Many of us are waiting for God to do something in our lives, And until God do it, we sit down and act like something wrong. We hold our head in our hands and we feel so weak and depressed we can't move, waiting on God. While you waiting on God to do whatever you want him to do in your life, you do what God has asked you to do that you already know. Keep it moving. Abraham packed up everything, got everything ready, and began on his faith journey. Then he saw the place far off. He took his son and went and worshiped God. Now, Abraham have a real tragedy that he believes he's about to face. I mean, a real tragedy. But look what he do when he see the place. It's what all of us should do. Even in the midst of our storms, we have to praise God. In the midst of the storm, Abraham took time and took his son and went and praised God. While we waiting on God, he still deserve our praise, glory, and honor. Abraham held on to the profession of his faith and kept pressing. Philippians 3:14 said, I press towards the mark of the prize for the high calling of God in Jesus Christ. Abraham then stopped and had a pity party. Oh, my son, why, God, you're going to take my son? Oh, Lord God, I'm too old to have another one. God, why? Abraham kept it moving. If you trust him, if you truly believe, speak of him working it out. Speak on the goodness of God and all that he's doing. Take a look back in your over your life and see how he brought you through before and ask him to do it again. Pray and worship and worship and pray. Hallelujah, y'all. And verse 6 said, and Abraham took the wood and the burnt offering and laid upon Isaac his son. How you like that? And he took the fire in his hand and a knife. And they went, both of them together. God ain't asking us to do nothing drastic like this. And yet so many don't obey. You see, even though Abraham didn't understand, he was totally obedient. We must just do the things that God is telling us to do. We have to believe that God planned for us, that Jeremiah 29:11 says, I know the thoughts that I think towards you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end. God don't ask us to do nothing that we don't have the ability to do. God doesn't ask us to do anything that he hasn't and already invested in us the provisions to do it. That's why there's no excuses. You can never say, God, I couldn't do that. God will tell you, yes, you can. If God asks you, he already has provided for you to perform what he's asking you to do. Verse 7, 8, and 9. And Isaac spake unto Abram his father. This is a child, y'all. And sighed. My father, he said. And Abraham said, here am I, son. And he said, behold, the fire, the wood, but where's the lamb for the burnt offering? The child asking his father. Verse 9. And Abraham said, my son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offering. So they went, both of them together. 9. And they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there and laid the wood in order. And he bound, come on, y'all, he bound Isaac, his son, and laid him on the altar. up on the wood. Nothing left to do but to burn it, to light it. Can you imagine how Abraham felt? And we could only imagine. You see, but this let me know that Abraham had taught his son the word of God. That child knew the preparation that he was seeing was preparation made for when there was going to be a burnt offering sacrifice made. He saw the wood. He saw the fire. He saw the altar, but he didn't see the sacrifice. Even that child knew that a sacrifice was needed. God told Abraham what to do, and Abraham was doing it. Verses 10 through 12. And Abraham stretched forth his hand and took his knife to slay his son. And the angel of the Lord called unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here am I. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon thy lad, neither do thou anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. God is speaking to us, y'all. High, please, God, that Abraham would be willing to do it. What are we withholding from God, y'all, that God may be asking us to do or to say or to give? Hallelujah. Abraham was willing to give up his son. What are you willing to give up for God? You see, just like Abraham was obedient to his heavenly father, Abraham's son Isaac was obedient to his father. And it amazed me, and I know it evidently was obedience, because the scripture no way tell us any way about a struggle. Try to take one of these children in 2022 and bring them on a mountain and tie them up and place them on the wood. I don't think that's going to happen. But Isaac was obedient to his father. I didn't read about a struggle. And I believe Isaac believed his father and believed his father knew what was best. As his father followed God, he began to follow God as well. And this just lets us know Abraham was right at the brink, where he figured all hope was gone. But this lets us know that God is our on-time God, and he is our present help. Abraham kept it moving, and he was just waiting for his change to come, and here it is. God has provided. And then you see, we go to 13 through 18. And it said, and Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him was a ram caught in the thicken of the by the horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up a burnt offering instead of his son. For those who may not know, once he had did the preparation for a sacrifice had to be performed. So it was so important for to have something to sacrifice. Abraham said, God will provide. And when he lifted up his eyes, the ram in the bush. Come on, y'all. What a mighty God we serve. 14. And Abraham called the name of the place Jehovah Shara, as it is said to this day. In the mount of the Lord it shall be. seen. 15, and the angel of the Lord called Abram out of heaven the second time and said, by myself I have sworn, said the Lord. God is talking to Abraham. For because thou hast done this thing and not withheld thy son, thy only son, 17, that in blessing will I bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven and as the sand which is on the seashore. And thy seed shall possess the gate of his enemies. And the last verse, and in thy seed shall all nations on the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. You see, it's in blessings and being obedient. The Bible says better to obey than to have to make a sacrifice. You see, God always have a ram. Hallelujah, y'all. God always have rams in the bushes of our lives. You know, many times people say, well, God always have a ram in a bush. They're referring to this, y'all. And I just say God always have rams in the bushes of our lives. You see, God offered up his only begotten son, Jesus Christ, a provision he made for us. And he had to execute it with Jesus, because Jesus was the only one worthy to accomplish the plan of salvation. You see, because he knew no sin. Hallelujah. You see, God always provides. Abraham named the mountain Jehovah Jireh, which means God will provide. And it's still called that today. You see, God made an unconditional promise to Abraham. And he has helped. He has held up his end of the covenant. You see, that's why we are called the seed of Abraham. And we are blessed with that same covenant that God gave Abraham. We are benefactors of it, because you see, when we accepted Christ, God made us heirs and joint heirs along with Jesus Christ. We became partakers in the family that God promised Abraham, the many nations and the blessed people and the seeds. So because of Abraham, we are blessed. And because of the covenant that God made for Abraham, is still working all things out together for our good today. Be like Abraham, trusting, obeying, loving, and he will see you through. That's the lesson for tonight. Hallelujah. Any comments, questions, or concerns? We got a lot we could talk about tonight, really and truly. Anyone have anything to say, they could press the one button on their phone. Caller, your number is 504-255-7777. Your mic is open.
Good night, ladies and gentlemen. Sister Diane, thank you for the word tonight. But I was looking at verses 10 and 11. Well, God was looking for Abraham to sacrifice his son, but he was testing his faith to see if he was going to do it. And Abraham was going to follow through with it. At the end of it, God decided to change his mind, if I'm right. if you can help me
well,
out.
Well, it
with
was
that.
Never God's intention. It was never God's intention for Abraham to go through it. Abraham just didn't know it. So I'm not going to say that God changed his mind, because his plan was to see what Abraham would do.
Okay.
He was
yes.
testing him, as the scripture started off. He said tempting and testing.
Yes.
It was never, you know, I ain't going to say what his intentions was, because that's how we get in trouble. But I would be all right to say God didn't change his mind, because he was only tempting. He was really only testing.
Testing
him.
I'm sorry. Yes, ma'am.
Yeah. But very good points, my brother.
Thank you very much.
Thank you. This is our Bible study, y'all. Anything you may need to know, you should ask. Anything you want cleared up, you can ask. Any question you may have, you can ask. It's our Bible study, and we should take full advantage of what God has given us. The point I was making tonight was that God calls us, y'all. God didn't take the most perfect, the most beautiful, the most this, the most that. God chooses who he wants. And we see that these men were not looking for God. God came looking for them. And I want you to know that's how God does us. That's how God operates in our lives as well. And remember, we come this far by faith, leaning on the Lord. We have to continue to lead, leaned on God. God is really blessing us, y'all. He's blessing us, protecting us, keeping us from all hurt, harm, and danger. He's holding back the punishment we do deserve, and he's giving us everything we're not worthy to even receive, but he gives it all grace. And if there's no more questions or comments or concern about anything, we could have our benediction at this time. Sister Pam, your mic is open.
The benediction tonight is coming from Numbers chapter 6, verse 24 through 26. May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. May the Lord cause his countenance to shine upon thee, and may he be gracious to thee. In your going out and coming in, may he grant thee peace. And until we meet again, amen, and thank you, Lord Jesus.
Amen, my sister, and thank you. Again, I thank each and every one of you who took time from your schedule to come and explore and expound on the word of God together with each other. God never intended for us to have to do anything alone, and God has allowed us to join with one another in fellowship in the things of God. We took time tonight. I was only able to give information. It's the Holy Spirit that will give you illumination and revelation if you ask. And that's it for tonight. I pray that everyone is blessed, and God keep each and every one of us safe until we meet again. And I want everyone to go in peace. And in the love of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, continue to walk in faith. And remember, you didn't go looking for God. God came looking for you. Answer the call, because that's where your success lies. Good night, everybody.
Amen. Good night.